Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Minister Erlangga Hartarto optimistic manufacturing growth will increase in the political year. Ijmi, natural disaster is momentum to maintain human and natural balance. Now the news in details. Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto is optimistic that the growth of the manufacturing industry can increase in 2019 as a political year. In fact, some investors are still convinced to invest their capital because the political and economic conditions in Indonesia are considered to be stable ahead of the political year. In his press statement in Jakarta on Wednesday, as quoted by Antara News Agency, Minister Erlangga explained that Indonesia has past prior and post-reform experience. Over the last 20 years, Indonesia has held 4 general elections, and almost every 2 years, there are regional head elections. All of these activities have run smoothly and democratically. Thus, he believes that the implementation of the legislative elections and presidential elections to be held simultaneously on April 17, 2019 will also run safely and peacefully, so to support the economy in a bid to realize public welfare. Chairman of Association of Indonesian Muslim Intellectual Ijmi, Jim Lee Ashidik, affirmed that natural disasters that hit Indonesia must be an important lesson to maintain the balance among the nature, humans, and culture under the protections of the Almighty God. The National Radio News Agency reported that Jim Lee Ashidik remarked in Jakarta on Wednesday, Indonesia is the largest archipelagic country and located in the world's ring of fire, with abundant natural wealth, also faces many risks of natural disasters. He added that Indonesia's territory must be grateful for maintaining natural balance. Jim Lee assumed that in religious teachings, this becomes rahmatan lil alamin, a blessing for the universe, not only for fellow humans. The tsunami that struck Banten brings about impact on the Tanjung Lesung Special Economic Zone. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution said that this should be of concern to investors. He also encouraged business people to insure their assets. As quoted by the Republika Online, Minister Darmin Nasution in Ciampea Bogor Regency West Java on Wednesday said that entrepreneurs are those who often face risk. Thus, they must also understand how to deal with these risks. Meanwhile, National Council Secretary of the Special Economic Zone Eno Suharto Pranoto explained that out of the 1,500 hectares of the Tanjung Lesung Special Economic Zone area, around 154 hectares has been built. The area affected by the tsunami is 8 hectares. Governor of Banten Wahidin Halim asked the public not to believe in hoaxes related to disaster tragedy and appealed not to panic when they heard the hoax. The request was conveyed by Governor Wahidin Halim when giving a speech at the Banten Province Islamic Boarding School Silaturahmi Working Meeting at Rangkas Bitung, Banten on Wednesday. As quoted by Antara News Agency, he requested that every thread of the information received must be verified first. To the Islamic scholars, the governor appealed to jointly create peace and harmony in the community and foster a spirit of mutual defense among them. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian Ulama Council Advisory Council, MUI, encouraged the Chinese government to properly treat the Uyghur ethnics as their citizens. This was stated by Chairman of the MUI Advisory Council, Din Shamsuddin, after attending the 33rd plenary meeting of the MUI Advisory Council in Jakarta on Wednesday. As reported by Antara News Agency, Din Shamsuddin explained that the MUI Advisory Council has also prepared a letter to the Islamic Work Organization of the Republic of Indonesia regarding the Uyghur issues. According to him, the MUI Advisory Council claimed to be concerned about developments in Xinjiang province experienced by the ethnics of Uyghurs. Especially with the term used by the Chinese government, namely camp re-education, it raises questions. The MUI Advisory Council also appreciated the attitude of the Indonesian government through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, which has called on the Chinese embassy to simultaneously convey messages and suggestions regarding the Uyghur ethnic problem. The Indonesian embassy, along with the Indonesian community in Canberra, held a joint interfaith prayer for the victims of the Sunda Strait tsunami during the holding of the 2018 Christmas celebration open house at Wisma Indonesia. The Indonesian ambassador to Australia, Kristiarto S. Lugowo, in a written statement in Jakarta on Wednesday, said, as written by the National Radio News Agency, stated that the implementation of interfaith prayer is a reflection of the concern of the Indonesian people in Canberra towards fellow citizens in Indonesia hit by disasters. The Indonesian embassy in The Hague, in collaboration with the Netherlands Christian Cooperation Agency, also held interfaith prayers for victims of the Sunda Strait tsunami. The activity was packaged in this nuance of Indonesian Culture Festival held in Ridgewick on Wednesday. The event was held as a form of solidarity and to pray for tsunami victims in West Java and Lampung. World Hijab Day is all set to launch its 2019 campaign on Wednesday, aiming to encourage women to voice their choice of wearing the hijab, according to the founder of the annual event. Hashtag Free in Hijab is the much-needed hashtag for the current global situation on which women in hijab are labeled by media as oppressed and symbolically imprisoned. This was affirmed by Nazma Khan to Anadolu Agency in an exclusive interview ahead of the campaign launch. Khan added that through this hashtag, women are encouraged to voice their choice of wearing the hijab, thus dispelling common misconceptions. The World Hijab Day, created in 2013, is to encourage women of all religions and backgrounds to wear the hijab in support of Muslim women. It is celebrated worldwide on February 1st every year. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is December Tsunami and National Disaster Alertness Day. Well, listener, Indonesia is a country located in the Ring of Fire, where aspects of volcanology and fractures of earthquakes often occurred. Indonesia also has many volcanoes, both on the surface of the earth and on the seabed. The effects of volcanic activity often causes disasters. One of the mountains that has made disaster is the tsunami in Banten and Lampung, which was caused by the activities of Mount Anak Krakatau. The question is, to what extent is Indonesian readiness to further address volcanology activities has happened in several regions in Indonesia? We still remember the tsunami tragedy in Aceh that occurred on December 26, 2004. This tragedy killed more than 200,000 people. Now the tsunami happened again in Banten and Lampung due to the effects of the eruption of Anak Krakatau volcano. Previously, the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency did not expect that the eruption event in the form of a cliff landslide affected the underwater, so that it was not well detected by the seismographs. Initially, it was thought only the effect of the tide due to the full moon. But what happened was a tsunami that devastated Serang, Pandeglang, and South Lampung. Regarding the tsunami danger, President Joko Widodo, during a visit to the affected disaster area, said that the advanced early warning equipment of tsunami needs purchases and installing in areas with potential high waves so that they can prevent many casualties. Head of the Data Information and Public Relations Center for the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BPBB, Sutopo Purwanugroho, said that regional governments of Banten and Lampung Regional apply emergency response period post-tsunami of Sunda Strait. The emergency response period is applied differently between the two provinces. According to Sutopo, for the Pandeglang region, Banten, the emergency response period is valid for 14 days from December 22nd to January 4th. For the South Lampung region, the emergency response period lasts 7 days from December 23rd to 29th. However, he emphasized that Sunda Strait tsunami is not categorized as a national disaster because the regional administration is able to cope with. Looking at number of heatwave tragedies, Indonesia must have many sophisticated early warnings to be placed at separate disaster prone points. In addition, earthquake detection equipment or seismographs must also be more sensitive so that such Sunda Strait tsunami can be reported as soon as possible to the public. Based on the latest data, as of December 26, the impact of tsunami that hit the west coast of Banten and South Lampung on Saturday night, December 22, 2018, claimed more than 430 lives, more than 1,400 injured, 154 missing, and 16,082 people are displaced. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program through Aerial Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. Well, listener, we begin with the information about the establishment of World Bank. World Bank was established on 27 of December 1945 after an international ratification was achieved at a conference held on 1st of July to 22nd of July 1941 in Bretton Woods. The Bretton Woods was a conference initiated by President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. The conference aimed to overcome the impact of the World War II by establishing economic cooperation. World Bank headquarters is situated in Washington, D.C. in the USA. The World Bank is an international financial institute providing loans for developing countries in a bid to reduce poverty. The next information is about the coup attempt of the second Afghan president. On December 27, 1979, a coup attempt supported by the Soviet was plotted against the second Afghan president, Habibullah Amin. The coup overthrew and assassinated President Habibullah Amin. He was superseded by President Babrak Kumal, who was Habibullah's political opponent. The Soviet Union troops arrived 2 days after the coup attempt. Well, listener, the last information is about the assassination of former Pakistani Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto. On December 27, 2007, Benazir Bhutto was shot dead on her neck and chest by a murderer. Her murderer also exploded a suicide bomb in Rawalpindi. At the time, Benazir Bhutto, who was leader of Pakistani opposition party, Pakistani People's Party, was campaigning for the 2008 presidential election. At least 21 people were reportedly killed in the incident. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Menyebutkan nama dirinya. Sejak ku bertemu, ku telah jatuh hati padanya. Di dalam hati telah menjelma cinta. Dan bawalah aku selalu dalam mimpimu, di langkahmu serta hidupmu. juga nanti harapan di hatiku. Bawalah diriku selamanya.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to My Indonesia. Today, we'll focus on a topic about Bali socializing the prohibition of using disposable plastics. Bali provincial government socialized the prohibition of using disposable plastic on Monday, December 24, in accordance with regulation of Bali Governor No. 97, year 2018, on disposable plastic waste, which was issued on December 21. In the socialization of the regulation in Denpasar, Bali Governor Wayan Koster explained, in the regulation stated that there are three materials made from plastic materials which are prohibited to use, namely plastic bags, polystyrene, and plastic straws. Within 6 months, each disposable producer, supplier, businessman, and disposable plastic provider must follow the governor's regulations. Governor Wayan Koster also said that the regulation aims to maintain harmony and environmental balance. In addition, the regulation also ensures the fulfillment and protection of the right to a good and healthy environment for the community due to bad effects of using disposable plastics. Governor Koster added, government agencies, regional-owned enterprises, private entities, religious institutions, communities, and individuals are also prohibited from using disposable plastic. In order to implement the limitation of the generation of disposable plastic waste can be run effectively, the Bali provincial government will carry out coaching and supervision by forming a team. The team consists of vertical elements, regional officials, academicians, non-governmental organizations, entrepreneurs, religious leaders, and community leaders. The team has responsibility to hold education, socialization, and consultation, as well as providing technical assistance and training on the application of the provisions, as well as the use of non-plastic materials. Governor Wayan Koster encourages people to play an active role in limiting the generation of plastic waste by not using disposable plastic in their daily lives. That was My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hari pun penuh canda.
canda ceria hilang lenyap. Diriku tiada arti lagi rasanya. Oh, semuanya hanyalah sia-sia. Salahkah aku bila mencintaimu? Mestikah ku sesali
Voice of Indonesia.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you about Malasari Tourism Village in Bogor, West Java. Stay tuned. Bogor City, West Java becomes one of the alternative destinations for tourists because it is located adjacent to Jakarta. Take, for example, Malasari Tourism Village is very often visited by many tourists who want to feel the different tourist sensation compared with Jakarta. From Jakarta, Malasari Tourism Village can be reached in 2 hours by motor vehicles. It is located in Nanggung District, Bogor Regency, West Java. Malasari offers the natural beauty of the Halimun Mountain ecosystem. 78% of the total area of Malasari Village is located in Mount Halimun Salak National Park, and 11.8% of which is near Malaagung Tea Plantation, and the rest are mostly rice field and community plantations. Most areas are Gunung Halimun Salak National Park and make Malasari as an area of diverse ecosystems in tropical rainforest. Various endemic lowland rainforests also exist in this region. In addition, we can find leopard, Javanese eagles, Javanese gibbons, and snow lorises. To travel to Malasari Tourism Village, you will see the beauty of the rice field. You can take pictures with the background of it. With agro-tourism of beautiful natural landscapes,
you can enjoy here while getting to know the culture of the people. Malasari village community still uses the traditional system in planting and other daily lives. The tradition of the Serentown Harvest Festival is still held. In this tourist village, you can trek to see the green Nirmala Agung tea plantations. The plantation area has been formed neatly since the Dutch era by village ancestors. The vast expanse of green tea leaves looks exotic when the afternoon comes. Malasari is surrounded by Cikaniki and Cidurian rivers. The village also has many waterfalls such as Bajing and Pasakan waterfalls. In Malasari Tourism Village, there are historical places that are considered important and becoming symbols of Malasari's meaning in the history of human civilization in the past. Take the example, the 1947 Bupati Hall becomes the forerunner of the Bogor Regency government and several old relics. If you are interested to go to Malasari Tourism Village, you can have a homestay or set up a tent in the camping sites. That was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Malasari Tourism Village. We will meet again with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Saat kau menuntun tanganku, terlukis jelas seperti sesaat lalu. Terbayang masih raut yang tersenyum tenangkanku. Yakinkan diri untuk terus berlayar bersamamu. Siapa dirimu kini, di mana hatimu kini? Ketika ku seakan tak mengenalmu lagi, kemana harus ku cari separuh nyawaku ini? Kau hilang sisakan peri untukku. Maafkan aku tak mampu mengerti mimpi-mimpimu. Berulang kali ku mencoba untuk memahami isi hatimu. Maafkan ku kebodohanku, walau tahu ku tak berdaya. Namun tak bisa ku bernafas tanpamu. Malam saat kau tinggalkan diriku, terbayang buram seperti tak pernah lalu. Tak berhenti ku cari kenangan raut wajahmu. Namun hanya teringat basah penuhi mataku. Siapa dirimu kini, di mana hatimu kini? Seketika ku seakan tak mengenalmu lagi. Kemana harus ku cari separuh nyawaku ini? Kau hilang sisakan peri untukku. Maafkan aku tak mampu mengerti mimpi-mimpimu. Berulang kali ku coba tuk pahami. Maafkan diriku, kebodohanku, walau tahu ku tak berdaya. Namun tak bisa ku bernafas tanpamu. mencoba untuk pahami. Maafkan diriku, kebodohanku, walau tahu ku tak berdaya. Namun tak bisa ku bernafas tanpamu. Maafkan aku tak mampu mengerti semua mimpimu. Berulang kali telah ku coba pahami dirimu. Maafkan diriku, kebodohanku, walau tahu ku tak berdaya. Namun tak bisa ku bernafas.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the world on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
This is Saturday World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miss Eleni. In today's edition, we will present you information about InMed application. Stay tuned. Listeners, the latest innovation in medical world is created by one of Indonesian young generations from Malang, East Java. He is Dr. Gamal Albin Said, who invents an Android-based medical application called InMed or Indonesian Medica. The application is invented in a bid to facilitate people to get healthcare services, as well as change the conventional medical procedure. The Indonesian Medica application offers 5 features such as medical visit, medical phone, medical blood transfusion, medical talk or service on medical consultation, and medical food, which provides information for nutrition. Listeners, among the 5 features provided in the application, 2 of them have been ready to use, namely the med visit and the med talk features. The medical talk or med talk feature helps patients contact their doctors and psychologists whom they would like to consult their health problems with. Patients can consult with medical experts in real time. Meanwhile, the medical visit feature enables patients to contact medical experts such as doctors, nurses, midwives, physiotherapists, nutritionists, and psychologists to come to the patient's location so that the patients do not have to come to the hospitals, as it will be inefficient. However, the medical visit feature cannot be used in emergency state. In emergency state, the patients must be taken to the emergency department. InMed application can be downloaded for free on Google Play Store. However, the application can still only be used in Malang. The application is intended not only for middle to high class society, but also for patients from lower economy class. Through the application, a funding resource called crowdfunding is provided to help disadvantaged patients. The funding resource also helps them to pay for the healthcare services. Meanwhile, head of the Malang Health Department, Asitri Rahmi Nuswantari, told that the application could be a solution for people who need immediate healthcare service. That was Miscellany for today's edition. See you on our next edition with other interesting topics.
bisa bilang bila akulah yang akan menjadi jodohmu. Ku tak bisa bilang, biarlah waktu yang nantikan berbicara. Dan ku hanya menjalani, mencoba berjanji setia selamanya. Mungkin aku yang kelak menjadi jodohmu. Mungkin aku, mungkin aku, mungkin aku cintamu sepanjang hidupmu. Mungkin aku, mungkin aku. Aku tak bisa bila akulah takdir cinta yang terakhir. Ku tak bisa bilang, biarlah waktu yang nantikan berbicara. Dan ku hanya menjalani, mencoba berjanji setia.
Indonesia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back with me in Music Corner, a segment which presents you about Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present you about Iis Sugiyarti songs. To initiate our segment, let's listen to a song entitled Di Sini Aku Menanti by Iis Sugiyarti. Have a nice listening and stay tuned on voinews.id. Listeners, Iis Sugiyarti started her career since she released her album entitled Di Sini Aku Menanti in 1949. Her favorite song in the album is Di Sini Aku Menanti. The song tells about a couple who loves each other, but they have distance because the beloved one is struggling for his goal. Only a letter could pay for the pain of their longing. Listeners, I will present you a song entitled Ingatkah Kau Padaku. Have a nice listening.
Dengan memutar radio berdiri.
Listeners, that was a song entitled Ingatkah Kau Padaku by Iis Sugiyarti. The song was her favorite song in her second album, Ingatkah Kau Padaku, which was released in 1986, and it's still narrated about love. The song tells about a woman who longs for her ex-boyfriend, but he has been happy with his new couple. Listeners, that's all for Music Corner for today's edition. To end our segment, I will present you a song entitled Pulangkan Saja. The song of Pulangkan Saja is in the same album. Pulangkan Saja, which was released in 1988, tells about a woman who is waiting for a beloved boyfriend to keep his promise to marry her. Even he never visits his beloved woman. Listeners, here is a song entitled Pulangkan Saja. Have a nice listening and see you in the next edition of Music Corner.
Alright listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at @voiindonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.